You're listening to the New City Church podcast. These episodes are recorded live on Gadigal land. Sometimes the audio quality might not be perfect because what you're listening to is a conversation. We don't edit out the chatter. We think that's what makes it authentic. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you find these episodes encouraging.
This week, I just finished a book called I Eat the Stars by Sarah Wilson. Has anyone come across it? It dives into collapsology, which is it's a serious academic pursuit that people do, particularly in France, it turns out. And something like 75% of French people say that we're on the brink of collapse, or we've actually started collapse as society. So there's something cheery for a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it's rainy and the world is collapsing. I guess what I want to think about today, and what I've been thinking about this week as I've been pondering the passages that we're looking at in Matthew, is how do we rock up in that space? How do we as Christians appear in a world that is seemingly on fire and do it in a way that holds Jesus high, but also honors the dignity of all around us? So that's the question I want to dive into today. We get the next slide. We're going to read two passages from the book of Matthew, and these both come from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' big kind of grand sermon that he gives to kick off his ministry. This is Jesus bringing together, I think the best way to think of the Sermon on the Mount is he's weaving together the individual and the collective to draw us into a better kingdom. That's what's happening on the Sermon on the Mount. Does anyone want to read this one for us? It's from Matthew chapter 5.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your sibling's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to a sibling, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your sibling's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Thanks, Anna. The first part of that passage, I think we get, it makes sense. Don't judge, or if there's something wrong with you, you know, don't be a dickhead. Don't judge other people because you've also got a plank in your own eye. The one that's in bold is what we're going to talk about tonight, hence the caption, how not to be eaten. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Pigs in Jewish culture are dirty. They are, think the prodigal son story, like the lowest of the low is when he's in a pig pen. You don't associate with pigs at all. Dogs are beautiful and fluffy and warm and wonderful pets. In the ancient world, not so much. Think like ravaging, mutts, yeah. They would often roam in packs, and they would just be scouring the street, ready to attack anyone who looked at them sideways. Okay, what were people taught, I'm interested to hear, if you grew up in church, about these words? Don't give to dogs what is sacred, don't give pearls pigs. What were you taught? What was the main messages that came through?
For me, with Seventh-day Adventism, this was very much a purity culture. Do not date anyone that's not Christian. Do not have sex before marriage. Do not have agency or choice over your own body. Your body is for your husband.
Okay. Yeah. So in that instance, the swine were the non-Christians and the dogs. What else were people taught, or the messages that you feel like you imbibed growing up? Churches.
I feel like I was maybe taught it as like, don't try and spread the gospel to people who are going to take that in bad faith and try and attack you for it.
Yeah. Like if you're teaching about Jesus, some people are going to get really pissed off at you.
just ignore them. Like, don't do it to them. Yeah, big time. Okay, pop quiz. For the first, 1,200 years of the church, there was a very specific interpretation for this passage. The first one to get it wins. What is something that we do in church that is sacred that you might give out to people? Communion. Who said that? Yeah, well done. Until kind of the Reformation, communion was seen as what is being referred to here, something that is sacred. And the idea was if somebody isn't baptized into the now what's Catholic Church, then they are not to receive communion or Eucharist. And that is held by some people these days. Probably since the last 200 years, Carl's interpretation has been the biggest one. That is, you're not the only one saying that out there. it's really, as you go out spreading the gospel, evangelizing, some people aren't going to want to receive it, so don't give it to them. I find this one super interesting to sit in because it's not very often that Jesus calls like a whole swathe of people swine. Like that's not kosher, if you will. You don't do that, Jesus. And he seems to be referring to something like non-Christians, non-baptized people as dogs here. So we want to sit in that discomfort, and I want to throw out some ideas. But can we go to the next slide? Here's our second one. That one was from Matthew 7. This one's from Matthew 5. Didn't want to read this one for us.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others and that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Thank you very much. What were people taught about this passage? What's your main phrase?
I was taught that the idea is that Christianity and you being a Christian is the light of the world, and you don't want to hide the fact you're a Christian. You want to show the world that you're a Christian, and you want to show that you're a Christian by doing good deeds and glorifying God in your actions, and you don't want to hide it. Like, you should be proud of your Christianity and share it with others, and it can light the way for others to also find God.
Yeah. Anyone taught anything different to that? That's probably the main interpretation that sits around. And that is a real historic interpretation. That's how most people throughout history have seen it. So next slide. I want to dive into this verse a little bit more because I think it's a fascinating way that Jesus speaks here. Don't give to dogs what is sacred. What does the word sacred mean for you? What is something that is sacred in your world? I'm not going to ask you to share that, but I want you to sit on that to think. What
the pearl, they just need to get out of the way. On the other hand, though, once they've done that, they might turn around and tear you to pieces. That is a very real possibility. And so we have this contradiction that I want to set up here, and that is, are you a city on a hill who shines your light for everybody to see, or are you the wise individual who says, oh, you're a pig, I will not tell you good things? Yeah? Does that feel like a contradiction? What's Jesus getting at? Like, does anyone want to take a stab at why Jesus, because these are in the same sermon. It's not like Jesus said one thing on a Tuesday and then Wednesday, he was like, oh, forget that. Like, these are like one spiel. They're, 100 words apart. Does anyone want to take a stab, like, at what the difference might be between the two? Full disclosure, I don't fully understand myself, so.
I feel
feel like there's definitely a distinction in the second passage. I think there's definitely a distinction there. It's specifically pulling out a lot of people showing deeds, doing things for other people, and causing a difference. I don't know if this then pulls out the difference, but dogs and swine, I feel like it's explicitly. And if you are trying to ingratiate yourself to the Pharisees by like, doing good deeds as Jesus was seeing the Pharisees for us, is that speaking? Same what Jesus is trying to do. Any other steps or ideas of what might be going on in this contradiction? Can we get next slide? Thank you. Well, we've kind of already covered this. The pigs don't like the pearls, and then you get torn apart. Like that's what happens in this one. Next slide. Sorry about my bunch of PowerPoint disruption here. Here's my theory of what is taking place here. We're being called to do two different things in some sense. The first one is we're being called to shine brightly. We're being called to shine. We'll get to what it is that we're shining at some point. But we're called to be the city on a hill. The beauty of a city on a hill is that when you're traveling in darkness in the ancient world, there's a point ahead that you can work towards. There is something that you can actually move in the direction of, and that city becomes like a beacon that other people can locate themselves around. I think they're incredible.
In the dog and pig passage, being called to honor the sacred, the difference, I think, between the two is not your role, it's the receiver's role. That's what seems to be different here. If you're traveling at night and you see a city on a hill, it's up to you whether or not you go towards it. You can decide. It's up to you whether or not you attack somebody who is giving you something worthwhile. It's up to you to accept a pearl or to discard a pearl. And so if we flip that logic, I don't think that we're talking necessarily about the message and how we change it. We're talking about how we read other people's receptivity. Does that make sense? Are people ready to receive what it is that we're offering? To be on a city on a hill, we're kind of just offering it out there. We're not imposing a message on anyone. And when push comes to shove, if that person doesn't want that message, Jesus says, okay, don't do it. So next slide. Here's what I find is happening constantly on social media. And as Tali said, beyond social media, like this is a relentless pace that we're in. We try and talk about climate justice. And then the pylon starts. The rage bait begins, the bots, the challenging dynamics of comments. We try and talk about gender equality, and it just gets drowned. We try and talk about pride, as in June, the month that we're in. We try and talk about wealth morality, the fact that Elon Musk is now the world's first trillionaire. The tragedy of having a trillionaire. We as Christians, I think, need to talk about. Now, I would suggest that these are sacred things that come out of my faith. These are things that come out of my spirituality. Other things that come out of my spirituality are a dignity of all humanity. Is the recognition that Jesus saves? Is the recognition that there is a hope for humanity? All these things come out of my spirituality, and I have an option to be a city on a hill. I have an option to give these truths, but as we see so often, we just get our heads ripped off. So next slide. The layers get deeper when the question becomes, how do I show up in a world where my very existence is politicized? I'm thinking of, you know, trans siblings is the obvious example right now. Trans siblings have an extraordinary gift to give the world. And I would say trans Christians have an extraordinary gift to give the church. And that gift is being cast aside, and then our trans siblings are being trampled. That's my observation of what is taking place at the moment in our churches, in our world. I've seen this for myself as a gay man when I speak about things in conservative spaces. And so here's my challenge that I sit with, and I'm going to kind of wrap up in a moment and check it out for any thoughts. If we go to the next slide, I think it's the last one. This here is our church's mission statement that we've had for a while, that all might find refuge and life in Jesus. This to me is something sacred. This is a pearl that I want to gift to the world. I think New City Church is a city on a hill in so many ways. But I also know that not everyone is ready to receive that gift. They will look at what we're doing here and they will scorn it and they will attack it. So what do we do? In some senses, there's a way that we can just say, well, so be it. Bless them, bless us, and we move apart. My thoughts are, we have an incredibly beautiful message, a message of dignity and worth, of forgiveness and grace, acceptance and embrace. And we're invited to do two things. And maybe these things are contradictory, but think of them, I hope, as an offer of freedom in your life. The first one is you're invited to, if you so like, be a city on a hill. Just keep on being your truest, most authentic selves as we keep making bigger, more expansive tables at which people can find the love of Jesus. That's on one side. And the flip side is to honor the sacredness of the message that we have. And how we honor that sacredness is we are shrewd about who we put our energy into trying to convince. I don't know how that sits with you, but I have given up convincing people who I don't think are ready for it. Yeah? Like I've given up. I don't have, I do have energy for it. I've got a lot of energy. It's just there are far too many wonderful things for me to be bothered. Like I just don't care at this point. And that's, I recognize, a position of privilege that I sit in. But if people don't want to hear the gift that I have, I cannot force it on them. And for me, this passage gives me freedom to do that. Jesus is like, yep, don't do it. And I want to make something really clear. I don't think that Jesus is calling them dogs or swine. I think that will be stretching the metaphor. He's saying, in the same way that swine aren't going to accept the gift and run the risk of trampling you, they're not going to accept your gift, and they're just going to eat you up and swallow you whole and spit you out. Yeah? So be wise with the gift that you have. Find sacred things in your faith and spirituality that you're excited about. Be a city on a hill, but be shrewd. Be shrewd about who you offer that gift to. Any thoughts? I hope that sparked some pondering for you, something to think about throughout the week. Let me pray for us.